Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Oilers Now, it's 105 at Edmonton. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you at Rogers Place. By the way, today's the WHL trade deadline. A lot of teams don't want to move any players because of the COVID situation. Edmonton Oil Kings sweeping a pair. I was here Saturday for the Oil Kings game against Brandon. And before the Oilers game, obviously, broadcast that one. And Edmonton's down a bunch of players. I think they only played with 15 skaters last night. Still one of the best teams in the Western Hockey League. We'll see whether or not Kurt Hill can add another piece or two. Oilers Now brought to you by Digitex. Digitex.ca is Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office technology and software. We will tell you Japanese Village, open to serve you at any one of their five Edmonton and area locations featuring Japanese A5 Wagyu. Visit jvedmonton.ca. You can text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Get the new floors you've always wanted with Ashley Fine Floors. The number is 780-496-0063. 143rd Street and 111th Avenue, open Monday to Saturday. We're on Twitter at Oilers Now. You can tweet me personally, Bob_Stauffer. Brendan Escott is taking your calls right now on the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline at 780-496-0063. The River Cree Resort and Casino, excitement, bet on it. We're going to do calls. We don't often do this when I'm over in the other building, but let's drop the puck, and we're going to start with Fred on line number one on the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline. Fred, how are you doing?
Well, Bob, considering what's going on, not bad. I just figured out this is my 50th year of watching the Edmonton Oilers. And you know what? I'm never going to get too down on the team, but there are some problems. We'll start in goal, obviously. Connor hasn't had a number one goalie since he's been here. That should have been addressed years ago.
Okay, I would say, I just want to cut right. Cam Talbot in 16-17 gave Edmonton top 10 goaltending in the NHL.
He was good, yes. Okay, you got me on that one. Defense, well, it's a tire fire. We're missing Adam Larson and Oscar Klefbom. Exponentially, I didn't think we'd miss him this much, but we are.
Okay.
Up front, there's no fight at all. Nobody hits. Do you agree a guy like Pat Maroon would sure look good back in Oiler colors?
Well, part of what Maroon brought, Fred, was gamesmanship on top of the physicality. Like, there was an incident against the Islanders, and the Islanders had Ross Johnson dressed. They had Matt Martin dressed. They had that identity line going. But Kiefer Bellows was chirping Connor McDavid, and nothing. Now, the Oilers didn't have Cassian, and they didn't. Nurse just came back in the lineup. And Nurse is at the stage where he's too vital and important to be having a deal. I think Edmonton needs some more moxie and some more jam in the bottom six. I don't think there's any question about that. And I do think the team collectively in a lot of nights has been easy to play against.
Yeah, I don't know what Holland's going to do. He's got a big plate in front of him. But you know what? You got Woodcroft coming up at 1:30. I think him and Manson, maybe not this year, but start of next year, should be the new coach and co-coach of the Edmonton Oilers. What do you think about that?
I think you might have some people out there that would agree with that. I can tell you right now that there's been, in terms of the work that Manson has done with the young defensemen, and here's something for people to think about. He did everything in the NHL. He came up as a tough guy, and then he became a power play guy, and at the end of his career, he was a shutdown guy. And I think we've seen some real traction with the development of some of the Oilers' prospects on the back end. So, I mean, everywhere, even around the league, other organizations, I hear guys saying, you guys have got some good things going in your deep. Fred, I got a lot of calls, and I want to get them in, okay? Thanks for the call. Let's go to Ron from Red Deer on line number two. Ron, how are you?
I'm doing really well, Bob. How about yourself? You have a good weekend?
I wish the conclusion Saturday night was a lot better for everybody involved.
That really, really hurt. I don't think I've ever wished and hoped for our prospect goalies.
Yep.
I so wanted Skinner to have a great game. I hope they put him back in for the next game.
Well, he's got, just so you know, he entered
COVID,
so it's unlikely he's playing against Florida.
Is there any goalies that would cost us very little? But, I mean, it's a high gamble, but, I mean, we've got nothing to lose.
I think Marc-Andre Fleury, I don't know if he'd waive. My guess is Chicago's looking for number one. Carey Price, we all love Carey Price. The problem with Carey Price, the Canadians just announced that he is out, basically out indefinitely. He's restarting over in terms of getting going again. That's not good. There's goalies out there. Corpusello's in the last year of his deal in Columbus. He's got similar numbers, maybe a little worse than Koskinen. $2.8 million cap hit. Dallas Stars have got an extra goaltender with the emergence of Jake Ottinger, Ron. So there's a couple guys there, a couple names for you. Anton Hudobin's got an extra year left in his deal. That might be problematic. They've also got Holtby. And so there's some names there for you, Ron, okay?
Thank you.
You bet. Let's go to Barry on line number three. Barry, you're on the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline. How you doing?
Not too bad. Bob, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I just want to talk to you about the third line and the expectations of secondary scoring for the third and the fourth line.
Go for it.
Personally, I think we're putting on too much pressure on the third and fourth line to score goals. Their job should be to make the opposition pay for touching the puck. We got scoring on the first and second lines.
Yeah.
Their job is to score and to finish checks. But the third and fourth line, why are we trying to turn muckers? Why are we trying to turn Clydesdales into thoroughbreds?
I don't even know if they have Clydesdales. That's the point. I mean, Cassian today was on a line with McLeod, who's not a physically assertive player, and Fogel. And I would say that Cassian and Fogel have the ability to at least cycle. Fogel in particular is strong on net drives. I think Cassian could use a guy that's a little bit of an instigator on the team, because I think that would help him a bit. But the Oilers have got a quiet team, and they don't have, like, to me, they don't have big, heavy players that can play a heavy game in their bottom six.
Well, you know what, Bob? Is that part of the problem? I like Tippett. I think he's doing okay. But maybe his job is to be telling these guys, you start playing a heavier game, or we'll have popcorn for you in the press box.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, it was interesting in the press in the practice today how much one-on-one and two-on-two compete drills were, because it was feisty. But interesting point. Hey, Barry, I got to get some more calls in. Thank you for calling the show. Let's go to Jim on line number four. Jim, how are you?
Bob, I want to just go back 15 years. The Edmonton, the team, has had more first overall picks and won the lottery. And where are they going?
Well, okay. I mean, you're right. They've had four number one picks. Taylor Hall was traded for Adam Larson. Neil Yakupov did not pan out. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is one of the most beloved figures. I would say that Nugent-Hopkins and Puljujärvi are probably the two most popular players from the fans. In spite of the sheer brilliance of McDavid and Draisaitl, I think that Nugent-Hopkins, who's one of those number ones in 2011,
yeah.
And then obviously they've got the all-world talent that is Connor McDavid. So two of them
and,
are...
And they, you know, they... picked in the top 10 many, many times.
Yes, and they haven't gained the traction as the organization. Like,
no, they haven't.
Now, were you saying this when the team was 16-5 at the start of the year?
Well, I thought they were they're okay, but the bottom six is not good enough.
Agreed.
And of course, there's so quite a few teams with the same problem.
Okay, Jim, I got a rack.
Yep, thank you, Bob.
All right, thanks, Jim. Let's go to Glenn. I believe Glenn is on line number five on the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline. Hello, Glenn. How are you doing?
Good, Bob. How are you?
Good.
So I got a question for you. I keep reading and, hearing things that maybe the Oilers need to make some moves to shake things up. But I'm wondering why they want to shake things up and people want the moves, because they're not going to beat Minnesota, Vegas, St. Louis, or Colorado coming out of the West, and they're certainly not going to beat the Florida Panthers or the Tampa Bay Lightning in the East for the Stanley Cup. So why wouldn't you let the season kind of pan out the way it's going to be? Hopefully you drop a little further down in the standings, pick a little bit higher, and you can use your first and your second round draft pick to bolster the lineup. You're going to have some cap room come up come the end of the season, and use it wisely this time and make the team good going forward. We've got three or four more years. And let's work it like that.
Glenn, I don't think everybody shares the same patient approach that you have. I do think the Oilers have a decent base to work from. You are correct in saying that they would have a second round, like the third rounder that becomes the second rounder with Keith, is if Keith plays top 4 minutes and the team basically makes it three rounds in the playoffs. So I think that would be a very hard thing to sell internally in the team. And a hard thing to sell externally in the fan base, but it is an interesting perspective. Thank you for the call, Glenn. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Bob.
You bet. Let's go to, I believe it's, is it Fatty on line number six? Fatty, or how you doing?
Good, Bob. Yes, it is Fatty. I love your show. Two quick points. First one is a comment, and the second one is a question. First point is, I do think the turnaround for this starts in the locker room.
Okay.
And I believe Tippett should start having more of a motivational role in the in that locker room.
Okay.
To pump him up. Second point is, why do the top players always get the majority of the playing time when your secondary scoring, not only contributing, but they're also scoring? Like, you see them play 25, 26 minutes, but the secondary line who's contributing for that night, like Saturday, still get just a few minutes. Thank you.
Okay, well, and some would say it's hard for the guys that are not in the top six to contribute on a consistent basis if they're not playing consistent minutes. I wonder if we actually might see McDavid and Drysdale's minutes get dropped a bit. Again, and I mentioned it in the first hour of the show, I believe that Connor and Leon and Darnell, it's quite a noble thing that they try to do, but sometimes I think when the team struggles, they try to do too much. 780-496-0063. Let's go to Mark in St. Albert on line 7. Hi, Mark. How you doing?
Hey, very good, Bob. How about you?
Not bad.
Yeah, so, I'm actually pretty livid about this entire situation, especially kind of, given the fact that I'm a season ticket holder and I spend my hard-earned money to go to games. I'm really frustrated in particular with Ken Holland.
Okay.
At that press conference, he gets on there and he basically said, I don't know kind of what's wrong with the team. And at the end of the day, I think he's the highest paid GM in the NHL, and he needs to know what's wrong with the team so he can fix it.
What do you think is wrong with the team?
Well, I think that they definitely, most definitely need a number one goalie.
Okay.
I think that's the biggest issue with the team, because I think the team, they're professional athletes, but I don't think that it's easy for them to rally always from behind, always the first goal scored against them, and then like a lot of soft goals getting scored. So I really do think that's the biggest issue with the team right now.
And here's the challenge I have. I don't like blame. I had real empathy for the position Skinner was in the other night. You bring him up from the minors.
Yeah.
He hasn't been around with the NHL team. He hasn't been practicing and playing at an NHL pace. He had a tough sequence in the third period. The Oilers had a third-pairing defense of basically two rookie defensemen that got victimized for three goals against. And Stewart played a part of one of those goals directly, but also made a hell of a save. So I don't like blaming, Mike Smith. I think we all know it starts in goal, right? And Mike Smith's only played six games this year, and when the team was 16-5, nobody was below 914, and
right.
The team's 2-10-2, and nobody is above 882. So it starts there. There's some other aspects. I hear what you're saying, and I don't know what the solutions are in goal during the season, right? I don't know where we're at with Fleury. I know it looks like Price is not even an option for this season. And I don't
yeah,
know
it doesn't
how,
look like it.
And I don't know how you make Price work financially. There'd be a lot of people. I probably like Carey Price a lot more than 90% of the fans. Let's just say that. I just know that you ask guys in Toronto why they lost that series last year, they'd say it's Carey Price. You know why
totally.
Right? You know why Montreal nine. Like, the funny thing is, people in Toronto, well, they lost because Price stood on his head. He had a 944 save percentage, and the Oilers lost to the Jets, and Hellebuck was at 950. And yet, they're like, the same people aren't excusing Edmonton's loss to the goalie. Oh, well, you know, they don't know how to win, and they're losers. Well, the goalie had a 950 over five games, and Price put up a 944 over three. So,
absolutely.
I think I'm with you. They've got to get the goaltending situation straightened around. They do have to add a little bit more beef to the lineup. I think it's coming on defense with some of their prospect D that they've got coming. I think they got to find a way to explore options to add some more size into their forward.
I agree with you. And I just wanted to say really, really quick, too, that I'm certainly not bashing Skinner for that for one performance.
Yes.
At the end of the day, I believe in giving that guy a shot.
Same here.
And I still believe in giving him an opportunity. So I don't want you to think that, I'm like...
Thanks, Mark. I want to get at least four more calls in here, so thank
you. For sure. Thanks, Bob.
Let's go to Woody on back to the top of the order. Woody, you're on Oilers now. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Bob. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
I agree with what you're saying. I definitely, we are team soft. There's no question we're too soft. But I think, we can put problems, goaltending and everything, and I think those are problems. But I also think we have a real culture problem in our room. And how I see it, I think when you're a third or fourth line player, and when you sit on the end of the bench for and you play 4 to 8, 10 minutes, it's still part of the team. And then especially when the media the next day comes out, we're losing because our bottom six isn't contributing. It's hard to score from the bench. It's hard to get in the game when you get one shift and your legs are cramping. So, number one, I think we have a bit of a culture issue, and I don't blame Dave Drysdale for it. I blame our coaches and our manager for it because you can't run these guys 28 minutes a game. They got to be playing their 20, 21 minutes.
Yeah. Okay, well, you're kicking in and out there. 22 minutes a game. They're both over 22 minutes a game. Nurse plays 27, and there'd be coaches out there right now that would agree that you got to get those minutes down and you got to find a way to get more of your team engaged. Thanks a lot. Woody, I want to go to Mike from Ottawa on line. I think it's line 3. Mike, how you doing? Mike, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good, Bobby. Good, you?
Good. What's going on?
Just two quick things. I'm trying to, I've been in the pits like everybody else, but I feel more optimistic now. Two reasons. One, I think that we are going to get Evander Kane, and I know half the people listening are like, oh, the guy's, A, B, or C, bad person. But he's bring toughness. I believe it's a done deal. I think the only reason it hasn't happened is the pending potential suspension. So
well, that's a big caveat that we got to wait and see happens.
Yeah, okay? But that's in the AHL, and I'm not a lawyer. But why, the AHL has the rules, NHL, so anyway.
I have no idea, and I don't even know where we're at right now.
Yeah.
Okay?
But if we get him and we put that aside, I think he'll bring some toughness in the top six.
I'd still get another left wing that's got some bite in his game on top of him.
That would be good. Yeah, maybe Benson down the road, but yeah, I agree with you. And the second thing is that when you look at the orders, if anything that this has taught me in the past few weeks, what we've been dealing with is that, because I told my buddy the other day, I'm like, with COVID, the way it's hit the orders, it hasn't hit like other teams. And he said, well, there's lots of other teams dealing with this too. You can't use an excuse. He's right, but there are certain teams that may not react the same way to adversity. And I think this is teaching us about the orders that when they have this kind of adversity with players in and out of the lineup, it all started with Nurse getting injured. When he broke that finger, and it's not his fault, but when that happened, the whole slide started. Then the COVID kicked in. And instead of the whole team getting it like Calgary or Vancouver last year, it was just like one here, one there, one there.
Yep.
And it seems like the COVID fairy gods are floating around picking off the guys exactly who we need when we need them and pulling them out of the lineup for the next 5 days. Look at it with Skinner today. And then Koskinen, he hasn't tested positive. Who knows if he tests positive tomorrow? So then we'll be left. I'm just saying, Bob. I'm just saying he hangs out in the, they say that.
It is a factor. Mike, I got to get two more in. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, man.
Let's go to Scott. On line, I think it's 5. Scott, how are you doing?
Good, Bob. Thanks for taking the call.
Yep.
Everyone that I read and hear, whatever, 16-5 start. You know, Bob, the start of the season, teams are rusty. Top teams are, the top players have only had 1-2 games. So I don't think it's a fair evaluation.
This 2-10-2 stretch in which they've used 11 defensemen over the 14 games and they've had COVID run through the system and they haven't had a goalie above a 900 save percentage, is this a fair place to evaluate? If
absolutely
you don't...
not.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That's your point. Okay. That's a fair point.
Just quickly, too, on Holland's press conference, he was talking about being a patient man, and I just laughed. If you look at the Duncan Keith signing, or pardon me, trade, if he had waited 5 or 6 days right before the eve of the expansion draft, I'm sure Chicago would have retained.
All right. Thanks, Scott. Let's go to Stoney, and I have a feeling where this is going to go with Stoney. Hello, Stoney. How you doing?
You know, Bob, I'm doing pretty well.
You got a minute. You got a minute.
I just wanted a follow-up question. Is Dave Tippett the worst 16-7 coach of all time? Because last time I asked you, he hasn't won a game since. Over a month.
Well, if you're that prophetic, do me a favor. Text me the winning numbers on the lottery, okay?
You know what I will.
Because Stoney, I did not see the Edmonton Oilers when they were 16-5 going 2-10-2 in the next 14. Did you see the team going 2-10-2 in the next
14? No, but with the hot start and then the lull, they even each other out. Like, you can say they're not a 16-5 team.
I agree. They're not a 16-5 team.
Yeah, and they're not a 2-10-2 team.
What are they then, in your opinion?
Then they're exactly what their record is. If they were overperforming and now they're underperforming, they're exactly a wild card team. Holland had $26 million in cap space, and he created a wild card team in year 7 of Connor McDavid. And fans are just eating it. They're taking it with no backlash. It's a joke.
All right. Stoney, I gave you your minute, and I made sure we got you in. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, see you, Bob.
See ya. 126 in Edmonton. I got thousands of texts. I'm not going to be able to get them all in. I'll see if we can swing in a couple when we come back in Oilers Now.
Hi, this is Mike Smith from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
Well, I thought, for the most part, people, hey, they're frustrated, they're exasperated, they were polite, I'll give them that. 128 at Edmonton, you already know that cars cost less than Wetaskiwin, but did you know that Brentridge Ford of Wetaskiwin are 10-time President's Award winners for customer satisfaction? What does it mean? It means treating people fairly, fully transparent negotiations and making sure advertised prices include all accessories, fees, and taxes with the exception of GST. If these attributes are important to you, reach out to our friends Uncle Milt, Rich, Johnny and the Gang at 1-877-477-3673 or visit Brentridge.com. This text comes in from Kardsky. He says, Bob, I'm not worried about the losing streak. Everything happens for a reason. I'm a strong believer that the Oilers will bounce back. They will get the players they'll need, and they'll get the goaltending need. Just watch. We'll see. Bob, is the Oilers' February schedule out yet? No, it is not. No, you can't do that to the previous caller. The Oilers need to understand, Chuck says, that this is a 3-2 or 2-1 league. The Oilers must improve their defensive depth. The game shifts in the midway through the season more towards that type of play. Kenny will straighten this out. That comes to us from Chuck. Off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. Back with Jay Woodcroft, the head coach of the Bakersfield Condors. This is Oilers Now.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.